We're up to Shmuel Beis, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Beis. We were learning how David was bringing the Aron, he was bringing the Aron Kodesh to Yerushalayim. Vayugad LaMelech David, we touched on this Pasuk last time, and we'll pick it up again from Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayugad LaMelech David Lamor. It was told to the King David saying, people were saying this, everyone was well aware of this miracle, that Beirach Hashem es beis Oved Edom, that Hashem blessed the house of Oved Edom, ves kol asher lo, and everything that he had, Bavur Aron Ho Elokim, because the Aron was staying there. After the tragedy that Uzzah died, the Aron was put in the house of Oved Edom for 3 months, and we learned how the whole family miraculously had multiple births. 6 children were born at one time from all of the daughters-in-law and from his wife, and miraculously they could see the blessing of Hashem was there together with the Aron. Bavur Aron Ho Elokim, because of the Aron. The Malbim points out, in Lashon HaKodesh, there are no, what you'd call, synonyms, and just words that are similar in meaning without any substantive difference. But in Lashon HaKodesh, every word is precise. The word biglal means because of something that happened previously, that's why this is occurring. Like Lovan said, Vayivorcheni Hashem biglalecha. Because you, Yaakov, came to my house, that's why I'm having a blessing. The word ba'avur is when something happens in order to influence the future. Like it said, Elkanah had 2 wives, and Penina made Chana's life bitter, Bavur Harima, because she wanted Chana to feel that bitterness and to pray. The word Bavur is in order to have an impact for the future. Bavur Aron Hu Elokim, David realized that over here this miracle wasn't just because Oved Edom treated the Aron properly. But the miracle affected not just him, but his whole extended family. And he could tell it was Veskoa Shelo, everything he had was blessed. And the blessing was so extreme, it was almost as if Hashem wanted to show that the Aron is not a source of Chas V'Shalom, death or curse or bad, but the Aron is a source of blessing. And that if we would just treat it in the right manner, we would merit all the blessings that Oved Edom had. It was Bavur Aron Ho Elokim, that in the future, people should realize that the Aron is a source of blessing. It was an Eis Ratzon. This was a time that Hashem wanted to show favor. And David wanted to seize the moment. Vayelech David, so David went. Vayalas Aron Ho Elokim. And now he brought up the Aron of Hashem. Mi beis Oved Edom, from the house of Oved Edom. Ir David, to the city of David. Besimcha, with Simcha. The original time, they were mesachakim. It was a light-headed, with a lot of frivolity. Now it was with a simcha, a genuine, deep-felt joy, but with a certain seriousness. It was not mesachakim, but it was besimcha, and it was with simcha. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Se'u zimra, you should raise up song, Usnusof, and sound the drums. Kinar Noim, the sweet harp, Inovel with the other stringed instrument. Tiku b'chod shofar, on Rosh Hashanah you blow the shofar, b'kesa, on the set day, Liyom Chagenu, when it's our holiday. The Abar Vanel translates the pasuk a little different. He says, Se'u zimra. There's a time when you have to raise up the song, meaning actually take the song and remove it. With Snusof and that sounding of the drum, all that should be removed. The Kinar Noim im Novel, all the other instruments, shouldn't be the focus of the celebration, but focus on Tiku B'chodesh Shofar. The joy of everyone singing out and just the shofar blowing gives sort of a somber, a serious mood in the middle of the dancing and the rejoicing. And even though there were other instruments, it's mentioned in Divrei Hayomim, that even this time there were other instruments. As we'll see later on, the focus was certainly this time with the Kol Shofar. It was a more serious, a joyous occasion. We'll see how extreme was David HaMelech's dancing in joy. But yet it was tempered with a certain awareness that we are in the presence of the Ark. We are in the presence of Hashem. In Divrei HaYomim, the Pasuk says, Vayisu b'nei halevim es aron hu elokim. It stresses, this time around, the b'nei halevim, the levim were the ones who carried the aron. Kasher tziva Moshe, as Moshe commanded, vidvaro elokim, with the word of God, that it was carried, that they used the poles, they didn't hold on to the actual aron. There were poles that they held, and it was held on their shoulder. They didn't put it on any wagon. It was done, this time it was done correctly. And it was brought b'simcha. It was brought b'simcha from the house of Oved Edom also. Even though he had such tremendous bracha, he was happy to see that Klal Yisrael was ready to take the Aron back. I don't know if that was the pshat, or he had enough children and grandchildren for the moment. But in a serious vein, he was happy that Klal Yisrael was ready to take the Aron and bring it to Simcha. Vayihi ki tsoadu. It was when they took steps. The Nosei Aron Hashem, those who were carrying the Aron, when they took Shisha tsoadim, 6 steps. Vayizbach shor, they shechted, they slaughtered an ox. Umari is a special type, a fattened up ox. They brought a special carbon every 6 steps. And the Gemara in Soita and Daf Lamed Hey compares, again, the way that it's written here in Shmuel and the way it's discussed in Divrei HaYomim. Over there, the Pasuk says, Vayihi ba'azor hu Elokim es halevim. When Hashem was helping the Levim, who were Noisei Aron Bris Hashem, they were carrying the Aron, which is the treaty, the bris that we have with Hashem is represented by the Torah, by the Aron. When Hashem helped the Levim, Vayizbachu shiva parim v'shiva elim. They slaughtered 7 oxen and 7 elim rams. Those are older sheep in the second year of life. So it mentions they brought 7 parim and 7 elim. And here it seems to say there was 1 shor and 1 marie. First, the Gemara wants to say that actually what happened was every single step they brought a carbon. And they did that for 6 steps. Meaning 1 step, they shechted a shor and a marie. Another step, another shor and a marie. And the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. And when they finished the whole unit, then they shechted 7 parim and 7 elim. And the Gemara says, if so, every inch in Eretz Yisrael, they made like with a boma, with an altar in every step. How could that be? So the Gemara says the explanation actually was they went 6 steps, and then they brought the shor and the marie, this carbon. They went another 6 steps, and they brought the shor and the marie, the ox and the fattened ox. After they did that 6 times, then they had another 7 parim and another 7 elim. But the point is, it seems the seriousness, though, the way it was, there was that focus, they were brought carbonus every step of the way, almost, or every 6 steps of the way. There was a constant, they were bringing carbonus to Hashem. It could be they were bringing the carbonus because they were aware that the last time they brought the Aron, they had the tragedy with Uzzah. And it could be even, it doesn't say exactly how soon the incident with Uzzah happened, but could be they went 6 steps, and that was when the Aron became dislodged, and Uzzah grabbed it, and Uzzah died. So like, every time they went 6 steps and there wasn't a tragedy, there was like awareness, every 6 steps we have to thank Hashem and bring a carbon, that it's all going successfully and it's going b'shalom. And it didn't just happen, this carbon, the 1st 6 steps or the 2nd 6 steps, but it went the whole way from the house of Oved Edom to Yerushalayim. It could be they recognized the Nais, the Pasuk over there in Divrei HaYomim, was Vayihi Ba'azor Elokim Es HaLevim. When Hashem helped the Levim, that they sensed that the Aron was lifting them up. The Aron itself would have been very heavy. It had the luchos, the stone tablets in it. And those Levim carrying it just felt that they weren't carrying a heavy load, but they sensed that the Aron was bearing them. And they felt that the siyata dishmaya that Hashem was helping them every step on the way. Therefore, they brought all these karbanos. In fact, Me'am Lois points out that the reason why six steps is to show that Hashem is the master over all six directions. Some say that's the significance of the Mogen David. It has the six points. The four corners of the earth on a flat surface, and then one point up, Shemayim and Oretz, up and down. All six directions, Hashem is the master and the ruler of the world. So every six steps, they made an acknowledgement and they brought these karbanos. And others learned the significance was they went six steps, and then when they were at that seventh step, they brought a carbon. Because the number seven is significant, as we know, the seventh day of the week is Shabbos, and therefore the number seven is special. The seventh year is Shemitah, and the seventh, after the seventh Shemitah cycle, we have the Yovel. The number seven is that significance to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, again, the master of the world and controls everything. So after the six steps, they brought this carbon. V'David mecharker b'chol oz. David was leaping and he was dancing with all of his strength. Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. V'David chogur eifod bod. And David was girded with a linen. Bod is linen. Eifod tunic. He was wearing a special garment. We know the Kohanim wore an eifod. But in generally, those who served Hashem, they had a certain dress code. They dressed, those who devoted their life to serving Hashem, wore an eifod bod when they served Hashem. Over here, what David HaMelech did was, he actually did not conduct himself like a king. Again, the Pasuk doesn't say V'HaMelech David or V'HaMelech. It just refers to him as, by his first name, David. He conducted himself like a regular person. And he was mecharker b'chol oz. He ignored his own honor. He went dancing physically. He was dancing with such an energetic and with such abandon and such joy, lifnei Hashem, as if he wouldn't be the king who's watching and careful of what everyone's thinking and is making a proper impression and acting with a certain dignity and reserve. But no, he was dancing b'chol oz with all of his strength. Also, he was dressed, not in the royal clothing, but he wore the eifod bod. He took off the clothing of a king, and he wore the clothing of those who serve Hashem. Some learn, actually, he put it over his royal clothing, had the royal clothing underneath, but he was certainly showing to the people that he wanted to have that role in front of the Aron of just those who devote themselves to serving Hashem. And the third thing he did was, he mingled with the people. And normally a king should stay a little bit separate. And we'll see in a moment, the David v'chol beis Yisrael, David and all of Klal Yisrael were bringing up the Aron. So here, when he was dealing with the kavod of the Aron and the kavod of Hashem, David ignored his own honor, and he did all these actions to show that that the joy is just for Hashem. And it stresses David a few times. If you look in these two psukim, V'David mecharker b'chol oz ifnei Hashem, V'David chogur eifod bod, V'David b'chol beis Yisrael malim es aroin Hashem. We know we're talking about David. But it's as if the Navi's stressing, David was really involved in this simcha. It wasn't like a king could have sat back and said, you know, let them bring the Aron and he'll stand by, I guess, on the reviewing stand and he'll watch the parade go by. But no, he was actually dancing and he was involved, and this was a tremendous, we'll see in a moment, a tremendous Kiddush Hashem by those who understood the significance, that David ignored his own honor like a regular, simple Jew, and he was dancing in front of the Aron. It's also as if David was able to forget all the suffering he had gone through in life. We know we spent all the parokim learning through all of the difficulties David had. And what really gave him a simcha, was the joy of being able to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. He was dancing b'chol oiz with all of his with all of his strength, he was really into it. Now, this was what really gave him a tremendous, tremendous simcha. V'hoyo Aron Hashem. And it was the Aron of Hashem, Bo'ir David, or actually in Pasuk Tezvav. V'David b'chol beis Yisrael. David and all of Klal Yisrael, Malim es Aron Hashem. They were all bringing up the Aron of Hashem, Bisrua, with shouts of joy, with kol shofar, and with the sound of the shofar. The shofar, as we know from Rosh Hashanah, reminds a person of different thoughts. It reminds us of the shofar that was blown at Har Sinai when we received the Torah. And here they were going a similar experience to when we received the Torah. Here they're transporting the Torah. And they blew the shofar, reminiscent of Maimed Har Sinai. The shofar was blown as a symbol when a king is anointed. They sound the trumpet, they blow the shofar to coronate the king. On Rosh Hashanah we proclaim Hashem as king, we blow the shofar. Here also they're accepting, they're bringing the Aron. This is all part of accepting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their king. Compels somebody to give a bit of a tremble, a seriousness, and others say it's even la'arvev ha-satan. Here also, they wanted, at times of tremendous joy and celebration and partying, there's always that danger of people acting improperly. Now, it's interesting, Jews have the custom after Pesach, after Sukkot, they have a fast of Bahab. They fast for 3 fast days. That even though the Yom Tov is a time of tremendous, hopefully, aliyah, that we are able to gain tremendous inspiration, and every Yom Tov has its own special focus, on the other hand, there's always that danger with the inspiration and with the joy and with all of the advantages of Yom Tov, somehow the partying can lead to the wrong thing. And there's a fast afterwards for those individuals who fast. But that feeling here, they blew the shofar la'arvev ha-satan, that the satan shouldn't be makadreg, there shouldn't be any accusations against Klal Yisrael, nothing should go wrong, and the simcha should be complete. V'hoya Aron Hashem, and it was the Aron of Hashem, Bo'ir David, came to the city of David. U'michal bat Shaul, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, Nishkafa, was looking ba'ad hachalon, through the window. Or obviously, she could be, this was part of her tzniut, part of her modesty. She wasn't outside with the crowd. She stayed in the house. But she was looking through the window, waiting to watch the Aron being brought to Yerushalayim. She was excited and she was looking forward and she wanted to see the celebration and to feel part of this great moment. And she's looking out the window. Vateres Hamelech David. Here you notice they refer to him with his title. And she sees the King David. That's her husband. Mephazes. He was like jumping. Umacharker and dancing and leaping. Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. And he was carrying on. He was really getting into the celebration. And she's looking out the window. And she's shocked. This is the way a king behaves? Vativas lo beliba, and she despised David. She looked down on him in her heart. In her heart, she figured, this is the way he behaves. Did he forget himself? Did he forget his position in life? Now, the Pasuk Yitzayin, and afterwards we're going to continue that the Aron was brought, and David brought karbanos, and everybody was given a portion. And then we'll get to exactly what Michal said to David. We'll get to that at the end of the parak. But some learn it brought in here, this pasuk, that you should know Michal saw David through the window. That David could be was aware of that. But that didn't stop him. He knew that Michal's looking at him and Michal doesn't approve and she's going to have what to say to him. But he knew that at this point, this is the proper avodas Hashem. And he continued doing and dancing the way he was dancing before. Just to pause and to think for a moment who we're talking about. And we'll see Michal was criticized very harshly in this perek. But it's important to keep in mind who Michal was. here in this pasuk it says Umichal Bashou. And we'll see later in Pasuk Chof, again, when it mentions her name, it stresses Michal Bat Shaul. When it mentions her, it mentions who she's coming from. She's coming from a father, Shaul HaMelech, who we learned when he was a king, he was perfect. Ben Shona Shaul B'molcho, he was like a one-year-old that had no sins. He was of a greatness that is, he obviously wasn't successful as king. But as a person, Shaul HaMelech was one of the greatest people that we could imagine. And he excelled in tznius. The Gemara mentions in Megillah and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis that Rachel had tznius, and therefore she merited to have a descendant like Shaul. And Shaul had this modesty. When he was first appointed the king, he was hiding. He didn't even want people to... He didn't want to be found as the king. Maybe they'd select somebody else. He had a certain tznius, a modesty. And therefore he was Zocha that Esther came from him. So he was humble and modest, and he had all the beautiful traits that would have made him as an individual one of the greatest people Klal Yisrael would have had. And we've discussed already many times that he was his test in life, that he was made a king, and what his greatness was. He was made a king because of his great character, and then he was expected to act against his grain and not be humble and act as a king, act with a certain force of law and not be afraid of the people. Shaul had said, "Ki oreisi asam," I was afraid to go against the people, and the people had compassion, "Vayachmol ha'am," on the sheep, and they wanted to use it for a carbon. And you find Shaul was concerned about what the people would say, and he didn't want to go against them. Vayi kamachrish, when they spoke against him, Shaul was quiet. That was who Shaul was. And this was his daughter. And it's almost as if, on one hand, he was very modest and very humble. On the other hand, he knew that there's a halachas that the king has to act in a certain way. And somehow the mix wasn't proper. On one hand, he didn't use the authority of a king when it involved the people. He was an easygoing monarch. On the other hand, there were times when he felt a certain amount of reserve and dignity. And Chazal mentioned when he would go dancing for a purpose of a mitzvah, but with Shaul they were careful that his hands weren't exposed. Or is the sole of his feet, or the heels of his feet. In other words, it's a concept that we Americans aren't used to. The idea that a person, you know, in other words, of an elevated stature is, you never catch them wearing shorts, you know, playing baseball in shorts or going jogging, or, you know, there's a certain dignity and a certain honor. And that's the way Shaul was. That's the way he dressed. That's the way he acted. So he was tremendously humble. But even so, he had a certain dignity, and he felt that's all included. A king has to behave in a certain way, and that's the way he conducted himself. Michal was given in marriage to David. And Shaul, at that point, was going after David and wanted to kill David. And we had that incident. David was in Michal's house. And Shaul's men were going to come and capture him. And Michal covered up for him, and she used that teraphim. She put like a statue, whatever, in the bed, and it looked like it was David. And she let him, and she helped him escape. And she went against her father. She went against Shaul. She went against the king. She did everything for David. Then afterwards, David is on the run. Shaul took her and gave her to Palti ben Laish. He gave her to somebody else to be the wife. And we discussed how Shaul felt the first marriage wasn't valid, and that was totally permitted according to halacha. And again, Shaul was one of the greatest chachamim, and that's the way he paskined. And David and Palti and she also, they treated as if the first marriage was the one that counted, and she was David's wife, and all that time she was with Palti, they did not sin. But she went through that experience. She was given to Palti, and she went through this whole time. Then afterwards, her father Shaul and her three brothers were killed in the battle with the Plishtim. A family tragedy. Her father, her brothers were killed. She must have been crying and heartbroken, and before she has a chance to get over it, the message is sent that David is taking her back. So she's brought back to David's house. She's back with David, And then it doesn't take long, and then they bring the head of her brother. Ishbosheth, the king who took over for Shaul, was her brother. And they come bringing the head of Ishbosheth, who was killed. She went through a lot in life. In fact, Chazal say, to give you an idea I'm not sure exactly at what point she accepted this chumrah. Some learn perhaps it was at the time she was with Palti ben Laish, she decided to conduct herself with extra levels of kedusha. But she wore tefillin. The Gemara says that Michal wore tefillin. And you should know there are many mitzvos, a mitzvah sasei shazman groma, a positive mitzvah that's dictated by time. Women, as a general rule, there are exceptions, but as a general rule, women are exempt from. They don't have to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but women make the effort. They want to have that mitzvah of hearing the shofar. They don't have to sit in the sukkah, but women try to hear the sukkah, try to sit in the sukkah. There are many mitzvahs that they don't have to do, but they want to have that zechus. Tefillin is different. To give as another example, with chinuch, we train the children when they're young. A person changes, as soon as the child's able to understand or he's able to do the mitzvah, a little child, you teach him how to, he should sit in the sukkah when he doesn't need his mother, and he shakes the lulavan esrog, and you train him to eat the matzah. Tefillin is one mitzvah we do not start with the children at a young age. There are different minhagim, whether they start a few months, or 1 month, or day before, or just the day. There are people, we wait sort of last minute for tefillin. Even those who have the chinuch for tefillin, but we wait till last minute, just enough time that the child should be getting used to it before his bar mitzvah. Because the kedusha of tefillin is very, very great. And if we have to wear tefillin, so we have to be aware of the seriousness and the opportunity and we wear tefillin. But if somebody doesn't have to wear tefillin, to put on tefillin requires a tremendous kedusha and a holiness. And Michal had accepted that practice that she wore tefillin, unlike anyone else. This is the Michal we're talking about. But yet when she saw David dancing, she despised him. She felt that's just not, it's not the proper way of avodas Hashem. It wasn't like she thought he was being too frum. She thought it was not religious, that's not the way to act. A king doesn't behave in such a manner. Also, Vativa is lo beliba. She despised David in her heart. It could be in her heart. Remember, her own family had spoken against David. I think the Das Seifrim points out, a person has to be careful. Sometimes a person hears something and he gets impressions and he has a certain feeling. It could be Michal was influenced by the fact she knew what her father thought of David. She knew what her family thought of David. And her family was also great people. And here she's sort of torn between I'd always thought of David as being a superlative person. But here her family spoke against David, and now she sees him acting in this manner. Could be it just reinforced, you know, maybe my family was right. Maybe David isn't a good person. But Tivez lo beliba. And she despised him. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayaviu es Aron Hashem. They brought the Aron of Hashem. Vayatzigo sobi makomo, and they set it up in its place. Besocha oel, in the tent, asher notalo David, that David pitched. David set up a special tent for the Aron. And in this tent, there was a special place. Vayatzigo sobi makomo, within the tent, there was a special place for the Aron. A kodesh kadoshim. A separate part of the tent was for the Aron. And that's where the Aron was brought. When it was by the house of Avinodov, when it was in the house of Oved Edom, previously when it was in people's houses, it was in a house with a roof. But it was known that that was a temporary situation. Now David is bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim is going to be the final, the resting place. This is what the Torah talks about, ki lo vosem el hamenucha vel hanachala, this is the inheritance, this is the nachala, this is going to be the the final place of Kedusha where the Aron is going to remain. Now that he's bringing it to Yerushalayim, David didn't want to put it into a house. In Yerushalayim, there's one place for the Aron, and that's going to be the Beis HaMikdash. So first he brings it, and he puts it in a tent where it's clear that it's a temporary situation. It's in an ohel. And we'll see later on, he will endeavor to build the Beis HaMikdash. But first he puts it in this tent. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Vayihi b'Sholem Sukko. In Sholem, which is the name for Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is actually from the two words, Sholem, like we had Umalki Tzedek, the king of Sholem, brought out to Avram Avinu, lechem, bread and wine. The city was called Sholem. And by the Akedah, Avram Avinu said, Bahar Asher Ye Omer Hayom, Bahar Hashem Ye Roeh, that Hashem will be seen, the presence of Hashem will be felt on this mountain. So Yireh, to be seen, and Sholem, put together, is forms Yerushalayim. But the pasuk says, Vayihi b'Sholem Sukko. In Sholem, in Yerushalayim, was Hashem's tent. Meaning, even before the Beis HaMikdash, had the Shechina is going to be dwelling here during this time that the Aron is in the tent. The Mishkan was in the city Givon. And over there was a large bama, there was an altar, and they brought the Karbonos in Givon. But David, right now, is setting up a tent, and we'll see he's going to bring Karbonos in this place. Vayal David Olos Lifnei Hashem. David brought up Karbonos, he brought up Olos before Hashem, with Shlomim, together with Shlomim. It says in Divrei HaYamin, what David HaMelech said when he brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. The songs that were sung, and we say it every day in Davening, actually in Shacharis. It begins, Hodu Lashem, give thanks to Hashem. Kiru Vishmo, call out in His name. Hodiyo V'Amim Alilosov, let it be known among the people. Alilosov, the actions of Hashem, His deeds. Shirulo, sing to him. Zamalo, make music. Sichu b'chol niflosav, speak about all of the wonders. Hisalu b'shem kodsho, you should take a pride. Your what you feel proud of is the connection with Hashem, with the shem kodsho, Hashem's holy name. Zichu niflosav asher also, remember the wonders. All this was a reference to what happened with the Aron. The Aron had been captured by the Plishtim, and the Plishtim suffered, and they were punished for taking the Aron. Then they put the Aron on the wagon, and it was pulled by the poros, by the cows, and the cows were singing, and they walked straight back to Eretz Yisrael. And then Uzzah with the Aron was punished for grabbing hold of it. And then there was a tremendous bracha when the Aron was brought to Oved Edom, the house of Oved Edom. So remember all the wonders that were involved that we had together with this Aron. And every day while the Aron was here in Yerushalayim, in the Aron, before there was a Beis HaMikdash, they brought special korbanos, they brought a special korban tumid in the morning and in the evening in Yerushalayim, besides what was done in Givon. And they said that first part of Hodu Lashem Kiruv Yishmo, they set it up to the pasuk of Al Tigu Vimashichoyu Vinvi Al Toreyu. And that talks about what happened in the past, how Hashem had promised us Eretz Yisrael, and He had a special bris with the Avos. In the evening, by the Tomid Shabbeinu Abayim, in the afternoon, they said the next piece of what we say in the morning, Shiru Lashem Kol Oretz Basru Miyom Al Yom Shuoso, proclaim the salvation of Hashem. And that talks about in the future, where the whole world will recognize and will be singing to Hashem, the trees and everything will be, all of creation will be praising Hashem. And that continues up to the pasuk, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min Ha'olam Vad Ha'olam, Hashem is blessed from one world to the next. Vayomer kolam amen v'halel Hashem. I saw in the Sefer from Rav Shimon Schwab on davening, and he explains very beautifully the difference, the minig Ashkenaz and the minig Sfard. In minig Sfard, they put Hodu before Baruch Sha'amar. Because this was said, when this was said by David, it was said when they brought the Karban Tamid in Yerushalayim, when the Aron was in this Ohel, and it was part of the Avodah, it went with the Karbonos. And when they brought the sacrifices, they said, Hodu Lashem Kiru Vishmo. So they put Hodu before we begin Pesukei Dezimra, the verses of praise for Hashem, because this really went together with the sacrifices. What happened afterwards, when we have the Beis HaMikdash, then a different shir was instituted, a different song. Hashir Shahayu Alvim Omim Beis HaMikdash. Like we say, every day of the week there's a different shir. At that point, Hodu Lashem Kiru Vishmo was no longer said. So Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't put it with the Karbonos, because afterwards it didn't go with the Karbonos. It is in general praise of Hashem, and therefore they placed it after Baruch Sha'amar as part of the Pesukei Dezimra. Those are the Minhagim of Klal Yisrael, and this was said by David when they brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. Vayal David Olos Lifnei Hashem, David brought up Korban Olos, the burnt offering, which is totally burnt on the Mizbeach, Ushlamim, and Shlamim is a Korban that could be eaten by the Kohanim and by the Yisraelim, besides the parts that were burned on the Mizbeach. Vayachal David. This is all in addition, of course, to the Karbonos that were brought every few steps. They were bringing a Karbon, and then when they finally entered Yerushalayim, when they brought it, and they put it in the Ohel, there were additional Karbonos. Vayachal David mehalos ha'olav ha'shlamim. David finished from bringing the Karbon oil and the Shlamim. Vayvorech ha'am, he blessed the people. B'shem Hashem Tzvokos, with the name of Hashem Tzvokos. Tzvokos again signifies, like we're an army, we're controlled, we have a commander-in-chief who guides everything that happens to us and controls what happens, just like an army is controlled and people go and do what they're commanded to do. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is controlling Klal Yisrael, and he should guide us to victory over the enemies. This is very similar to what actually happened, for instance, when the Mishkan was brought. It says, Vayisa Aaron es yodov el ha'om. Aaron lifted his hands to the people, Vayvorchem, and he blessed them, Vayered me'asos achatos va'oilo, and he came down from bringing the Karbonos. Our David HaMelech had this opportunity that wasn't going to last too much longer. But once we have the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim have to be the ones to do the Avodah. Beforehand, a bama was permitted. Somebody would be allowed to make an altar in his backyard, and he was allowed to bring sacrifices. David had this opportunity now of bringing Karbonos, and he blessed the people, not as Yiduchim, but he blessed the people together in his inspiration from the Karbonos. Perhaps he wanted to make it clear that this was not the Beis HaMikdash that the Torah refers to. This is just a temporary status, and that's why a bomb is still permitted. But David is the one who's bringing these Karbonos. Vayachalik l'chol ha'om. He distributed to all the people, l'chol hamon Yisrael, to all of the multitude of Klal Yisrael. The Malbim says, could be vayachalik l'chol ha'om, he distributed to all the people, meaning the people involved with the Aron. And then l'chol hamon Yisrael, there were a lot of people who really weren't involved with Aaron. They were perhaps more distant, and they were just throngs of people coming to onlookers and more removed. But everyone who was there, l'me'ish bar isha, from man to woman, he distributed to all of them portions. L'ish, to every man, chalas lechem achas, could mean every person. Some say to the women, he gave it to the husband. That's why it reiterates l'ish. It was the women received it through their husbands. He didn't give it directly to the women. But l'ish, to every person, chalas lechem achas, there was one loaf of bread, ve'eshbar echad, and there was a nice portion of meat. Rashi brings down, eshbar is like shisha the par. Shisha, it was a sixth of an ox. Now imagine a large ox was shared by six people. Everyone had a large piece of meat, v'ashisha echas, and a container of wine. Again, Rashi says like a barrel, and everyone was given a lot of meat and a lot of wine, and I imagine that challah must have also been very large. But they all had plenty of meat, wine, and bread. Vayelach kol ha'amish leveso. And everybody went to his house. You can imagine such a thing must have required tremendous planning to have enough food to give to everyone. Could be he gave to them all personally, and it was all this way he had a connection with the people. Could be there was just a crowd that he had to, it means he gave to them, it was done under his auspices. But everyone received a portion, everybody enjoyed the celebration. If the meat came from the karbanos as a shlomim, it was actually a mitzvah, and it was a special kedusha to eat this holy food. But certainly it was a sudas mitzvah, it was, and everybody partook. In Divrei Hayomim it discusses how David HaMelech had set up different people in charge of the sheep, and he had different storehouses. In other words, obviously this required a tremendous outlay, this celebration of having enough animals and having enough food and having it worked out that everybody was able to partake. Vayoshev David levorech es beiso. David returned to bless his house. As the leader, first he participated with the people, and he put in a day of extreme exertion. And then he returned home, not just to relax, not to go to sleep, not to rest up, but he was focused, levarech es beiso. Now it's time to bless his house to see how they're doing. And in general, in Chazal, levarech es beiso means to see how, to inquire about their welfare. We find by Elisha, when he sent his lad Gehazi to do a tchiyas ha-mesim. There was a dead child, and he wanted, and Gehazi was supposed to do tchiyas ha-mesim, and then Elisha followed, and Elisha brought the dead back to life. But over there, there's a pasuk, it says, kisim sa'ish. When you find anybody, lo sevarchenu, don't bless him. Because it was understood when you met another Jew, you blessed him. That was the greeting. And the truth is, when you say shalom aleichem, that's a blessing. You should, peace be on you. So when you inquire how somebody's doing, it was done with a blessing. So here, David HaMelech wasn't just returning home to relax, but he went levorech es beiso to inquire about their welfare. Somehow he was able to balance his communal obligations with his family, but he didn't forget the family. And he went levorech es beiso. Anyways, he went to bless his house. Vateitze Michal Bashol. Michal Bashol went out. She didn't even wait for him to step in the door. She had what to say to him, and she stepped out to greet him. Likras David, she went out to greet David. Vatomer, and she said, Manich bar hayom, how honored today is the Melech Yisrael, the king over Israel. You're the king. How honored you were today, in a sarcastic voice, obviously. Asher nigla hayom, today you were revealed, La'enei amhos avodov, not just in the eyes of your servants, but if your servants had maid servants, you reveal yourself in front of them. You're dancing, and your pants come up, and your sleeve rolls up, and you reveal yourself, ki higolos niglos achad harekim, like a boor, like an ignoramus, like an empty person who has no sense of worth and no sense of self-respect. And you reveal yourself like one of the empty people. A king is not allowed to be moichel his kavod. We've talked about that. A king is obligated to maintain his honor. Som tosim alecha melech. The king must be over you. There has to be a fear for the king. She said, first of all, manich bar hayom melech Yisrael. How are you honored today? You forgot about your kavod. You are moichel your honor. You're the king. Secondly, even if somebody's not a king, if he's a rav, if he's a rebbe, he can be moichel his honor, but he's not allowed to be moichel his bizoyum. In other words, he can't allow himself to be humiliated if he has that role where he represents the leader of the community, if he represents Torah, if he's the teacher, he can't allow a bizoyum. So she stressed and she said, and not only that, forget it, besides the fact that you're the king, you reveal yourself like Achad HaReikim. What a disgrace. You're not an honorable person, like a rake, to go dancing like that? And again, it stresses Michal Bas Shaul because her father, obviously as a king, was careful to maintain that decorum. The Malbim says, what she was saying is, a person in a position of honor is noticed by two ways. First of all, the people giving him the honor, and how he himself conducts himself. She said, first of all, in terms of the people giving you honor, normally a king should only be approached by the leaders, by the chashuv of people, not the regular common people. And here you revealed yourself le'enei to the eyes of Amhos Avodov. As you're displaying yourself in front of the maidservants of your servants. Or is everybody part of society? David was dancing like he was a regular person. There was no secret service keeping everyone away and maintaining everyone's got to stay away from the king. But no, he was dancing among the crowds like a regular person. Secondly, the way you yourself were behaving. You were dancing kigolos nigos achara rekim, and you exposed yourself. Instead of being like a king who wears the royal clothing with the crown and he sits on his throne, you were dancing like you didn't act in an honorable manner. David responded, Vayomer David. So David said, El Michal to Michal, Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. In other words, what I'm telling you now is not my personal feelings. It's not that I'm angry with the way you've talked to me or what you're saying to me. But what I'm saying is Lifnei Hashem, with an awareness that this is before, I'm speaking before Hashem, almost like he's swearing in the presence of Hashem, I'm going to tell you this. Asher bochar bimei avich, Hashem is the one who chose me over your father. Umikol beso, and over his whole household. Litzavos osi nogid al am Hashem. Hashem commanded me to be the ruler over the people of Hashem. Al Yisrael, on Klal Yisrael. Kuvi breaks it up into two different groups, like the Am Hashem, some say, is referring to Shevet Yehuda, his tribe. The Shevet Yehuda was on a higher level, spiritually, than the rest of Klal Yisrael. But I'm the leader over the Am Hashem. I'm over Yisrael. V'sichati lifnei Hashem. And you're right. I was misachek. That word, like we had before, they were misachakim lifnei ha'aron. It might have been light-headed. It might have been with a sense of frivolity. But when I did it, it was clearly v'sichati lifnei Hashem. It was like I was totally aware that I was in front of the aron. And whatever I danced and however I behaved was with the knowledge that I am totally insignificant and worthless in the eyes of Hashem. And everything that I have is owing to Hashem, and there's no sense of honor when I'm dealing in front of Hashem. As the Malbim points out, this whole idea of having honor, if the people select the leader has to be shown honor by the people. Because what makes him greater than them? They chose him to be the leader. What makes him greater? The fact that they show him honor. Here what David was saying was, I don't have to be honored by the people, and I don't have to worry what they think of me. I'm not the king by popular choice. I am the king because Hashem chose me. Hashem chose me over your father and over his whole household. So my kingship has nothing to do with the people, and I don't need their honor, and I don't have to find favor in their eyes. I am a servant of Hashem, and I am the king because Hashem made me the king. So in front of Hashem, I am totally insignificant, v'sichakti lifnei Hashem, and therefore I treat myself in the most humble manner in front of Hashem. Unakalosi od mizos, I would treat myself even less important. V'yisi shofol be'enoi, and I would be low and lowly in my own eyes. V'im ho'amahos asher amart, and with those maidservants that you said, the lowest of society, the maidservants of the servants, those amos that you were referring to, imam ikaveda, with them I will be honored. In other words, with them, when I'm dealing with them, I will act in an honorable manner, but not when I'm dancing in front of the Aron. Could also be Imami Kaveda. They realize that when you're dancing in front of the Aron, it's not a place to worry about your own honor. And the very fact that I treated myself the way I did, they'll honor me for that. They have an appreciation. And you, Michal, are lacking that. But with those Amos, Imami Kaveda, with them I'll be honored. The Me'am Lois brings an interesting pshat. He says, with those Amos that you mentioned, and he stresses the words Amos, because it could be understood like, you call them Amos, like a maidservant. The Amos that you're talking about, I actually look at them differently. I think of them as Imohos, as mothers of Klal Yisrael, as great people. And Imam Ikaveda, with them, I will be honored. Because David HaMelech said, you should know, I realize, even though right now you're worried what the Amos are going to think about me. But remember, the women were the first ones to realize that David should be the leader. Shaul killed his thousands, but David Rivavosov. David struck the tens of thousands. It was the women who went out singing. And Michal, his wife, even though right now she had an improper complaint to David, but Michal was the woman who saved David's life when he was to escape from Shaul. And Abigail, when David was ready to kill Nabal, which we learned about, Nabal didn't send food, and David felt he was a Morid B'Malchus, rebelling against the throne. Another wife, who later became his wife, Abigail, saved his life. Saved the life of Nabal, that David didn't kill Nabal. So David says, those Amos, those maidservants that you're talking about, in my eyes, they're very significant. And Imam, with them, Ikaved, I'll have the honor that I'll be Zoyche to Noyum Haba in the Zechus of these, the women who helped them out. It's a Hillam Kuf Lamed Aleph. It says, David says, Hashem lo gova libi, my heart was not haughty. Meaning when I was anointed as king, I didn't feel the pride of being, when Shmuel anointed me, Shmuel Hanavi made me the king, I didn't feel haughty. Below Romu Einai, my eyes weren't elevated. I didn't act in a different manner. And that's referring to another episode. After he killed Goliath. And he was saved Klal Yisrael for all these days. Goliath had been taunting the Jewish people. There's nobody to fight him. And then David killed him. David didn't elevate his eyes. Lo hilachti bigdolos. I didn't go with things that were greater than I should have. I didn't act in a greater manner than I should have. Is referring to when David was returned to the Malchus. We'll learn later on there was a time that he had lost the throne, Avshalom took over, and later on he came back as the king. But again, it didn't strike him with any sense of pride, the fact that once again he was the ruler. And I didn't go beneath flows from many, and things that were more wondrous than me. Meaning when I brought up the Aron with all of the wonders that the Aron wrought, when I brought up that Aron, I didn't feel the sense of pride. I was in the most humble way. Im lo shivisi vidomanti, I treated myself, shivisi, like to be shoved, to be equal. Vidomanti could be from the word dimion, to be comparable. You know how I viewed myself? Kagomul ali imo, like a little baby who's just separated from his mother, who's being weaned to stop nursing, and he knows his whole life was dependent on his mother. That's the way I view myself. That everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The baby's not afraid of being exposed in front of his mother. And I'm not afraid if I'm perhaps in a dishonorable manner. But if it's in front of Hashem to show my joy and my love and my honor to Hashem, I'm not worried about my own pride. Kagomul ali nafshi. And I'm again like that baby that nurses and does anything to get nourishment from his mother. I'm willing to learn Torah from even the smallest and the most insignificant person. Well, Michal bas Shaul, to Michal, the daughter of Shaul, lo hoya lo voled. It's written yolad. She didn't have a child. It's pronounced voled. She didn't have yolad. She didn't have a child ad yomos until the day of her death. The Rambam brings down at the end of Hilchas Lulav. I'll read you the Rambam. The end of Hilchas Lulav, then the Perek Ches. Hasimcha sheyismach odom basiyas ha-mitzvah. The joy that a person has when he does a mitzvah. Uva'avas ha-keil she-tziva b'hen. And with the love of Hashem who's given him that mitzvah. When he does a mitzvah, he should think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love of Hashem, and he gave me this mitzvah, an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Avoida gedoylehi. It's a great avoida. It's not like a person thinks, oh, you do a mitzvah, you'll be happy. Be happy, I'll be happy when I do the mitzvah. You should know it's something that shows it's a high level. And of course, there are many levels. You can have a little bit of simcha, and if you become a greater person, you'll feel a greater simcha. But the Rambam says, avoida gedoylehi. It's a great avoida. Anybody who holds back and he refrains from this simcha, royally pora mimenu, deserves a punishment. It says in the Tochacha there are punishments for not having a joy when you serve Hashem. You have to feel a joy. You're not allowed to serve Hashem with a grumble and a complaint. Somebody who feels like a pride. And he's giving honor to himself. And he has honor in his own eyes. He thinks of his own honor. He's a sinner. He's a fool. Every word in the Rambam is precise. I'm not going to say any explanation why the Rambam chooses those descriptions. But there is a significance. In other words, he's a sinner and he's a fool. It's not even common sense. How can a person be worried about his own honor? But Valzeh Hezer Shlomo V'Amr Al Tisada Lifnei Melech. Don't show your own honor in front of the king. When you're in front of the king, don't show off. So in front of Hashem, don't act on like if you're important. V'chol Amashbel Atzmo. If a guy lowers himself, Umekel Gufo. And he treats his body not important v'makom oselo in these situations. Hu hagadol hamachubad. He's the great person who is honorable. Ha'oved me'ava. And he's the one who serves Hashem with love. V'chein David melech Yisrael Omar. And he brings our pasuk. When David said, "Unakalosi od mizos," I would be even less important. I would disgrace myself even more. But yisi shafol be'enoi, and I would be low in my own eyes. Ve'ein ha'gedul of akov, greatness and honor is only eloli smach l'fnei Hashem. It's only to be misameach before Hashem. Shnemar v'hamelech David mefazei z'macharker l'fnei Hashem, that David was dancing and leaping before Hashem. Michal Bashol did not have a child ad yom osa till she died. It was as if the hashkocha Hashem gave the message and the lesson that the approach of David is the correct one. Michal felt that a king should not debase himself in any manner, even dancing in front of the Aron. And David disagreed. The halacha, the proper conduct is, I saw it from David. Interestingly, it does mention two other places that it seems Michal had a child. Later on, Shmuel, in Perek Chof Aleph, it says Michal Bashol had five sons. But Chazal say over there, she raised her sister's children. Merav had children, and after Merav died, Michal raised them. So they're called her children. But they were not her biological children. And earlier, in Perek Gimel, when it mentions the wives and the children of David, it says he had a wife, Egla, which Rashi brings down, was Michal, and there was a child, Yisram. So some of Farshim learned that it means that from this incident until the day she died, she had no children. But she had a child before that. And some learned Ad Yomos, until the day of her death, she didn't have a child. But she died when she gave birth to this child. In fact, the Radak brings down, there are three women. For those who want a trivia question, not trivia, but three women you find in Tanakh died when they gave birth. One was Rachel, one was the daughter-in-law of Eli, when she heard the news that the Aron was captured and Eli died. was her father-in-law, and her husband died. It says she was giving birth, she was in labor pains, she gave birth, but she died. And the third one was Michal. But Michal basho lo hayelo voled ad yomosa. The lesson is that we have to, when in front of Hashem is not the time for our honor, it's the time to surely show that all the kavod and belongs to Hashem.